Well, welcome back to Mission. We're so glad you're with us. Today, we're concluding a series, and if this is your first time here, it is a little bit like coming in on the end of the movie, so I'm going to catch up in just a couple of minutes. But before we jump into that, I want to tell you about a couple of things that are coming up the next couple of weeks, so you'll be prepared. Next weekend, we have a one-part message that we're doing, which, by the way, is something that didn't really fit into a series, but it's one of the most powerful ideas in the New Testament, and it's something that Mission has a long history with, and it's valuable, and so we're going to talk about it next week, and it'll be really inspiring. It's Super Bowl weekend, I know that, which is exciting. It's not as exciting as it could have been, but it's an exciting weekend nonetheless, and it'll be an exciting weekend here at Mission, so you won't want to miss that next weekend. And then, in 2 weeks, we're starting a new series, and the series is called Wish You Were Here. And here's why I'm telling you about this, because in 2 weeks, as we start this new series, my guess is some of you are going to show up, and as we start to talk, specifically what we're going to talk about, some of you are going to wish you had a friend that was here. You're going to go, oh my goodness, I had this friend and this, it would be perfect for them, because we're going to talk about something that really relates to all of us. In fact, the tagline for the series is getting from where you are to where you want to be. And some of you are at places in life where you don't really want to be. You wish you were somewhere else. And you know people that wish they were in a different place financially or relationally or in terms of their career professionally. And in the New Testament, Jesus gives us a really simple path to find ourselves in the best places in life. In fact, he gives some instructions that we're going to go deep on that he gave to his disciples over and over and over. And it's three simple steps. So in this three-part series, it's going to be super practical. And it's all about what it is to follow Jesus to find the best places in life that God has for you. And so we're going to talk about how to get from where you are to where you want to be. And it is the perfect time as we're starting a new series to invite somebody. So if you have somebody you've been investing in, or you know somebody who you just think might be open to hearing maybe a different path or a different way to get to find what they're ultimately looking for, we're going to kick off that series in just a couple of weeks. So it's a perfect time to invite somebody. Today, we're concluding this series, this vision series that we've been in, and we've been talking about all sorts of different things. We've started out by talking about the mission of the church. We're talking about the vision of the church. We've been talking about what it is to be the church. And if you haven't been here for all 4 weeks, I've said this each of the weeks, but this is like one conversation in four parts. And so if you miss part of it, you may be confused, or there may be a gap, or you may misunderstand. And I don't want you to do that. So I'd love for you to catch up, especially if you call Mission home. You're going to want to catch up on all the weeks of this series to figure out how this fits together. But we started the first week by talking about the fact that if we're going to talk about where God's leading us in 2016 and beyond, we have to go back to rediscover what is it that Jesus originally intended the church to be? And whether you're here for the first time or you've been here for a long time, what we discovered was incredibly encouraging, because Jesus gave us a very specific mission in Matthew 28. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to make disciples. I want you to baptize people, and I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do the same thing that I've been doing. I want you to go, and I want you to encourage people to follow, to believe and to obey, to follow and believe and obey. And what we said is that's the way you find new life in Jesus. And it's also the way you continue to grow in finding deeper life in Jesus. And Jesus connected this idea of the mission he gave us to the mission that he came with. The purpose that Jesus came, John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you could have life and you could have it to the full. You could have abundant life. You could experience the sort of life that you're longing for. And what we know is most of us are on a quest to find life, purposeful, meaningful life. Again, whether you consider yourself religious or not, whether you consider yourself a Jesus follower or not, we're all trying to squeeze life out of different things. And Jesus came, and he came with a very sort of narrow path. He said, hey, the only way you're going to find life is you're going to find it in me. And so one of the things we said was that our mission, this is the way we're going to say it here, our mission is to lead people to find thriving life in Jesus. That's a quest that never ends. That in this life and the life to come, Jesus promised that we could experience a life beyond what we can manufacture or we can make happen on our own. And if we'll follow him, we'll find a life that's the life that we're searching for. And one of the ways that we want to do that, our vision for doing that, we said we not only want to lead people who are showing up to church, but we know lots of people that are far from God that are trying to find life in other places. In fact, we live in a society that seems like it's thriving. And we're a culture that we're being told, especially in this community, that's thriving. And so it's hard because people are going, well, I feel like I'm thriving. I'm in life. And then they find themselves in difficult places in life. And so one of the things we said is we want to be an irresistible church. Because we have an irresistible message. God's given us an irresistible offer. And we want to be an irresistible church for our next door neighbors and the next generation. The truth is the legacy of this church, of the church, of this organization will be how we impacted those around us, our next door neighbors, the people who live near us, and the people who will come behind us, the next generation. And we said that's not only true for us as a church, but that's true for all of us individually. Think about it for a minute. That'll be your legacy. Once you're gone, people will talk. The people who were around you and the people who come behind you will talk about how you impacted their lives. That will be your legacy. And so what we said is we want to be a church that doesn't repel, doesn't make it hard for people to engage, doesn't make it difficult for people to find life in Jesus, but that creates a series of steps for our next door neighbors and the next generation so they can find life in Jesus. But being an irresistible church doesn't have to do with, it's not simply just about creating weekend experiences. This is about being the church, not attending the church. Last weekend, we talked about four different ways to be the church. And this isn't all the New Testament has to say, but these four categories, a lot of what the New Testament, the one another's of scripture, that we want people to move out of a row and get in a group, to get into a group where they can experience the body of Christ. They'll find life by experiencing the body of Christ and the one another's of scripture, all those things that we're commanded to be to one another that you can't do sitting in a row. That we want you to serve on a team to find life by giving your life away. See, these things are not just about you giving your life away. This is about you finding life. Jesus said you find your life by giving your life away. And we want to give people opportunities to do that, serving in the church, in the community, in the world. We want you to give. We want you to give not because we need your money. We want you to give so that you can learn what it is to trust God alone, to say, God, I trust you. I'm going to prioritize you first. And I'm gonna trust you with my life and to give and then to invite, to participate with God in influencing other people around you, to invite them toward a relationship with their Savior. Now, this is the difficult part. Today, we're gonna talk a little bit about partnering, how we wanna partner together. And here's what's really great. If you're brand new to mission and somebody brought you the first week, I'm sure they're sitting next to you right now going, oh no, like this isn't the right message for my friend that's come. But if you're somebody who's new to the church or you're here for the first time and you're not even sure what you believe about God, here's what I'm gonna do today. I'm gonna tell you what our agenda is. Isn't that great? So you show up, you know, a lot of times we show up at things and you show up at a meeting or you show up at some pitch and you're going, okay, just bottom line for me. Tell me what your agenda is. The good news is I'm gonna tell you that today as we talk about what it looks like for us to partner together in our mission as a church. I'm gonna tell you exactly what this is all about and how we're gonna try to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. And it's a solution to a challenge, a big challenge. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us a huge challenge. And we're eventually gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible with you, we're gonna get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in a second. If you're into politics, you may now know it as 1 Corinthians 3. most of you got that. Some of you will get it later. You can ask a friend. But in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks a little bit about how you accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. He gives us insight into the way he viewed ministry and the way he viewed passing along the things that were passed along to him. But Jesus, he sort of paints the picture of how difficult this is in Matthew chapter 7. You don't need to turn there. Matthew chapter 7 says this. Jesus said, he said, "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Broad is the road. Wide is the gate. This is the easy way in life, the easy path in life, ultimately is a path that leads to destruction. And come on, most people are on it. Jesus is talking to the people who are following him, which should be a sobering thing for us in the church. He's not just talking to people who are not church people or consider themselves not followers of his. These are people who are around him, who are interested, who are maybe have been traveling with him for a while. And he, in this sermon, this really famous sermon, he said, here's what you need to know. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and most people are headed down that path. We talked a couple of weeks ago when Jesus made this promise that in me, following me, you can have life, and you can have a life to the full, this abundant, thriving life. He, just before that, distinguished himself from somebody else who's leading people down a different path. The thief who's come to steal and to kill and destroy. He's leading people down a path of destruction, and he's saying his path is broad and most people are on that path. He goes on, he said, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, the life I've promised, the life I came that you could have. And only a few enter through it. Only a few find that sort of life. And I'll just tell you, just a moment of confession, when I first got into ministry, in fact, when I was in seminary, which is graduate school to become a professional Christian, essentially is what that is. When I'm in seminary, this is the reason I almost quit. This is the reason I thought, I don't even know if I want to do this, because I started realizing this is a really difficult task. What we're trying to lead people toward is really complicated. It's really hard. And the primary reason is because I'm dealing with people, and people are difficult. Some of you are in the people business, and you know, and in my last year in seminary, part of what we had to do was we had to give a certain number of hours, basically work for free for a church for a certain number of hours a week as part of our practical application of what we were learning. And so I'm working, I'm going, I literally was reevaluating, going, I don't know if I want to do this. And then I discovered, just before my last year of school, I discovered something that I've carried with me for 20 years. And I discovered it through some other pastors and some other people and some dialogue. It was a whole different approach. And it was an approach that really is rooted in really Paul's approach to ministry. It's not what I had seen. It's not what I had participated in before. It was something brand new and something different. And I want to unpack it for you just for a minute, because I think it has application for every single one of us. So if you have your Bible open, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's writing. And for those of you who are new to the Bible or you don't have a Bible, I'm going to put the words up here. That Paul's writing a letter. And so we have it broken up into chapters like a book. But this was a letter. This was one letter written to a group of people that lived in Greece. Corinth was a city in modern day Greece. And he's writing to Greek people who he had traveled to share the message of Jesus. And many of them had put their faith in Jesus. And here's what you need to know about Paul. Paul's a guy that while everybody else was gathered around Jerusalem going, hey, this is dangerous. You know, the Romans are out to get us. People are threatening us. And they're like, we need to stick together and we need to be here. Paul's like, no way. Like, this needs to go to everybody. And so he took off and traveled thousands of miles and stopped in all these different influential cities and just boldly proclaimed the message of Jesus. But he started out as somebody who was an enemy of Jesus. And when he encountered Jesus, it changed everything for him. And he started living his life in a different way. He started living his life according to the way of God. And he started doing that because of the Spirit of God that was inside of him. As a matter of fact, just before the words we're about to look at, in chapter 2, that's what Paul's talking about. In chapter 2, quick cliff notes summary of chapter 2, Paul says, hey, look, in the same way that your spirit knows your thoughts, think about it for a minute. Inside your spirit knows your thoughts and understands your thoughts. While you're not, sometimes you have a hard time articulating to other people your thoughts and feelings, and people don't always get you or understand you. Your inner spirit understands your thoughts and understands your ways and your mind. In the same way, Paul says, God's spirit understands God's thoughts. He discerns God's thoughts. He knows God's ways. And here's the miracle when you put your faith in Jesus. He places his spirit inside of you, and you have access to understanding the things and the ways and the path of God because of the spirit of God in you. It's something we're going to talk about in the next series, how to follow God and by following his spirit. It's not a weird thing. It's something God's placed inside of you. But basically, Paul's saying is there are sometimes what's going to be conflicting in you is the voice of the spirit and the voice your voice, the voice of humanity that's inside of you, the discernment or the understanding or your spirit that's inside of you. And you're gonna have to learn what it is to live in the spirit and live according to God's ways. Because here's the thing, the mind of humanity, it deceives people and it considers the things of God foolishness. But my spirit inside of you discerns the things of God and understands the wisdom of God. He just lays this all out. And he said, you've been given the spirit, the mind of Christ. And then he confronts them a little bit. He goes to kind of like challenge them, because what he's hearing is that they're not living in that way. They're not living according to the spirit and the mind of Christ. They've said they believe in Jesus, but haven't changed their path. And so look what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. He says, brothers and sisters, hey, this is family talk. We're a family. You put your faith in Jesus. This is family talk. I want to challenge you a little bit. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. And when I first addressed you in this letter, I just want you to know I couldn't address you as people who are living by the Spirit because of what I'm hearing. And I just want you to know that's why when I first came, I gave you milk, not solid food. And he's using a metaphor of an infant child. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. And indeed, you're still not ready for it. Based on what I'm hearing, I mean, I know this is a little bit hard for you here, but you haven't progressed a whole lot. You haven't grown a whole lot. And he even goes a little bit further. He gets a little bit more intense. He says, you're still worldly. You're still like the rest of the world. You're not changing your path and living according to the Spirit with the mind of Christ that you've been given. Look how he defines that. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? And in an instant, isn't it true that Paul puts every one of us in the category of being worldly? I mean, who among us doesn't at sometimes become jealous of other people? Who among us doesn't at sometimes have conflict and quarreling among us? And he's going, you continue to engage in these types of things. And when you engage in these types of things, what you do is you act like the rest of humanity. And especially within the body of Christ, especially within the church, that there is something that can keep you from living that way. Because people who have the Spirit, it brings unity. It brings people together. It doesn't create division and confusion. That's what the enemy does, who's leading you down a path toward destruction. That's what happens on the wide road. And then right after this, Paul identifies a specific conflict. And I don't want us to get lost in that. There's lots of application in that. We're going to read these words in just a second. But here's what I want you to see. Paul gives us insight into his approach or his philosophy about helping people grow or leading people in ministry and sharing the message of Jesus. It's helping people find new life and thriving life in him. And here's what we're going to discover. Paul shares with us something that's somewhat of his strategy. And his strategy is rooted in his theology. Our strategy in partnering together and doing the work of the church, it always has to be informed by our theology, what we believe about God. And Paul's theology drove his strategy. Look at what he says. He says, for when one says, and he's addressing a specific conflict, one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? I mean, isn't this what people do? People divide amongst leaders. People go, well, I'm sticking with this guy, or I'm sticking with this guy. This guy said this, or this guy said this. And well, who are you with? Are you with that guy, or are you with that guy? And Paul's going, wait. When you say this is like the rest of humanity. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Which is a weird question of itself because it's not even proper grammar. It's like, no, you mean who is Paul or who is Apollos? Paul's going, no. I'm saying what is. As in, of what significance is Paul and Apollos? Here's why. They're only servants through whom you came to believe, which is significant. But they're servants as the Lord has assigned each to his task. They're not acting independent of a God, of something larger that's going on. They're just playing a part in what God's up to. You see, I planted the seed, he said. I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. You see, what is Apollos and what is Paul? I mean, they're people who've been assigned a task to play a role, but God's the one who makes it grow. And here's what you need to know. For me, that was so freeing. This is why I didn't quit. Because I realized at a crucial point for me that I'm not responsible for outcomes. That's what God's responsible for. I'm responsible for obedience. My job is to play my role. My job is to follow the Spirit of God and to follow the path of God and follow the Word of God and be obedient and then allow the outcomes in life to fall as they may because God is the one who creates the outcomes. This was so freeing for me because I'm like, I'm not going to be judged by the outcome because I was so hung up on that. I just got to tell you, part of it's because I'm a competitive person and I like to win. And I was like, you know what? If this is about leading people to deep life in Christ and broads the road and narrows the path, I'm like, I can't see how I'm going to win. I don't think I want to engage in that because I don't play games I can't win. So you just need to know that if you ever want to play a game with me, I'm only playing if I can win. So you don't have a chance. Because I like to win. And I just thought, this is so freeing. Because it's not even my responsibility. Winning for us is playing our role. And here's what's interesting. This is why this is so brilliant. Paul is using a metaphor that his Greek audience would have not only understood because they live in an agricultural society. It would be something that was deeply rooted in their culture. Some of you know about the Greek culture. You know about the Greek gods. The most powerful of the Greek gods were gods of provision. Some of you, many of you, have heard of Zeus. Zeus was the god of, anybody? The sky. He was the god of the sky or the god of rain. And he was the God that provided through agriculture and their society. And they knew they were dependent on a higher power. And when they realized the message of Jesus, Paul's going, okay, look, this isn't different from what you believed. It's just not the power you thought it was. It wasn't Zeus. And the same power that makes your crops grow is the same power that causes people to grow. So he goes on. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is really anything. I mean, they play a role, but they're not really anything in and of themselves, but only God who makes things grow. God is the one who causes things to grow. Some plant and some water, but God makes things grow. In fact, the one who plants and the one who waters, they have one purpose. They have one purpose. And he's saying, not that I'm about to give you the purpose. They have one purpose in that they have the same purpose. They're creating and cultivating an environment where things can grow. That's what you do when you plant. When you till up soil and you plant and you water, you create an environment. People do this all the time in greenhouses. They create habitats where things can grow. And Paul's saying, that's what Apollos and I did. We just created and cultivated an environment where God could do what only God can do. See, some plant and some water, but only God grows. We have a role, but God is in control. We have one purpose, and each of the people who are involved, you're gonna be recorded, you're gonna be rewarded according to your labor. There is a reward for you, but here's what you need to know. The outcome is not up to you. Now, here's the thing. This was so freeing for me, and the reason this was so freeing for me is because I thought, you know what? I could spin my wheels all day long, and if I'm measuring my success based on the outcome, Jesus has already told me that only a few people are gonna enter. Only a few people are gonna make it through that gate. And that could be so discouraging. That could be something you wanna quit. But when I realized that my job is to create and cultivate an environment, that we have a role and our role is to create environments, I thought, I can do that. I mean, I know how to do that. We can create context within which God can do what God does. But our role is to create environments. God's role is to create growth. God's the one who makes people's faith grow. The way we've been talking about, God's the one who creates new life. The truth is, we create environments and God grows. Now, I want you to think back on your story for a second. Most of you, if you were to talk about significant moments in your faith journey, those of you who've been following Christ for any period of time, you, as you think back, you told your story, you would probably talk about an environment. Isn't that true? You would talk about an environment where something, you know, something came to life for you. You had an aha moment. For some of you, it was when you were kids. It was in Awanas. It was in Sunday school. It was at a summer camp. It was at Vacation Bible School. Anybody go to Vacation Bible School as a kid? VBS, some of you was that. You know, when I was 4 years old, I still remember Betty Grote was my Vacation Bible School teacher when I was 4 years old. I remember the flannel graph that she used when I first discovered as a childlike faith who Jesus was and who he wanted to be for me. I remember it. And I was in an environment, and we're tempted in those, when you think back on those environments, some of you remember people, you remember the environment, but here's what you need to know, and this is what Paul's saying. Those things didn't cause you to grow. Somebody created an environment where God was committed to doing what only God does, because God has a plan for you and a purpose for you, and when other people were obedient, participated, and played their role, God caused you to have faith and experience new life and to grow in that faith, and it happened over and over. Some of you came to faith as an adult or had significant moments in your adult life, and some of those were in environments like this. Others of you had environment, it was a different environment. Maybe it was an environment like Celebrate Recovery, or for others of you, it was a small group environment. Still others of you, it was an environment where you were sitting in a coffee shop with somebody who created a safe environment in your conversation, where you could ask whatever you wanted to ask and not feel stupid, where you could challenge whatever you wanted to challenge and not feel like you were gonna be judged as a doubter, where you got to really explore the truth of God and the person of Jesus in a safe environment, a conversation with somebody. And the truth is this is how God works. When we create environments, God creates and leads people to find new and deeper life in Christ. So here's the thing today. Here's what I want you to know. This is what I want us to create. This is what the church should look like. Anybody know what this is? It's a funnel. Somebody said a hat. It's not a hat. It'd be a big hat. You have to have a big head for that hat, which I'll just move past that. It's a funnel. And here's why we need to create a funnel. Because Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And the sobering thing about that is that some of us in this room are on the wide road, and we don't even realize it. Some of us are on the wide road, and some of us want to be on the narrow road, and some of us are caught in between, and we're like, the wide road's offering me some things that I want, but the narrow road is where I know it really, really leads to life. But man, it seems like there's some life-giving things over here, and we can't decide, and we need to be in between. But this is part of what the disciple-making discipleship process is about. You see, the only real control we have over the disciple-making process is the environment that gets created that God does what he does. And so we're going to create a series of environments. We should create a series of environments that connect with people that are on the broad road and that leads them to a narrow path that goes through a narrow gate where you really find life in Jesus. I mean, we need to create some environments that communicate on a regular basis. We've been talking this throughout this series, that communicates Jesus is for everyone. Because that is the message of Jesus. Jesus said, I came that you could have life and you could have it abundantly. The most famous verse in the Bible, for whoever believes, for whosoever believes in me can have life for eternity. For God so loved the world. And the truth is, that's how we're gonna go wide as a church. But we need to go deep as a church too. Because deep is where ultimate life is found. And we're gonna go broad, we're gonna go wide to connect with people who are on the wide road. But here's what we want you to know, we're gonna continue to challenge you to take more steps and more steps to step into new environments, more challenging environments, because the wide road is where many people are. But the truth is when we go deep, and we go deep in God's word with other people, we go deep in relationships with people, you're gonna find life in the narrow gate, in the narrow road. See, here's the problem with church. I don't know about you, but the church I grew up in, here's the problem with church is we've done this. And here's what happens is we said, hey, if you'll believe these few things, if you'll believe these things, this narrow path, this narrow road, if you'll believe this, you can belong here. If you don't, you don't belong here. You gotta believe this, and we judge people for what they don't believe, and we judge people for things that they're not yet ready to adopt, and it's like you gotta obey before you can be a follower. But you know what? Jesus never did that. Jesus said, hey, come follow me. And eventually, he taught them, and he challenged them to believe, and then he challenged them to obey. So here's what Jesus knew. Broad is the road, and if your strategy is like this, you're gonna miss out on a whole bunch of people and they're never gonna find a path to true life in Jesus. And the truth is what we wanna do is we wanna create a church that says, hey, look, we're for everyone, but here's what we want you to know. We wanna lead people to a place to take a series of steps to engage in their faith in such a way that they get to a place where everyone is for Jesus. You see, the gospel says that Jesus is for everyone. But to find true life, you, as we talked about last week, finding true life is about giving your life and surrendering all of your life for Jesus. That you find life by giving your life away. That the more of your life you surrender, the more of your life you live for Jesus, the more life you're gonna find in him. So we wanna move people from being guests, from being disconnected from us, to becoming friends, to ultimately becoming family. And the guest environments aren't gonna be as challenging, but the family environments are gonna be really challenging. And we're gonna have environments that are first steps into people to say, hey, you're welcome here and everybody's welcome here just as you are, but we love you too much and God loves you too much to allow you to stay the way you are because he has more for you. And so as you take steps, you're gonna be challenged more. And we want you to get out of a row. We want you to keep taking steps to engage further and further and further and finding deep life in Jesus, because the life, the real true thriving life that Jesus has for you is found through a narrow path, through a narrow gate. So we want to lead people who are anonymous to be a part of the body of Christ. We want to lead people who are disengaged from God to being engaged with God and in a relationship with Jesus. We want to lead people who are disconnected from the body of Christ to being connected in the body of Christ. We want to lead people who are far from God to being fully devoted followers of Jesus, thriving in life in him. And so what we're going to try to do together is we're going to try to create irresistible environments. We want environments not just here at the church on the weekend, But throughout the week, we want you to partner with us. You're gonna create environments in your home. You create environments in your workplace. You do this all the time. In your relationships, that as a body, not as a building, not as an organization, as a body, we wanna create environments in our lives and in our community, in our world, where we can participate with what God is really up to and interested in, and that's bringing people to new life in him, and God is the one that helps people to grow in that. And we're gonna create irresistible environments where we engage people in taking steps of faith where they can find life in Jesus. Now think about it for a minute. You already do this. You do this when you meet new people. You invite people into your home. Think about it for a second. You invite people into your home. And if you're inviting some new friends over for dinner, you have a dinner party at your house, you invite them over and they walk in, they walk through your front door. And if it's cold outside, you take their coat, which is about 2 weeks here in Arizona. You take their coat and then you invite them into the house and they come in, you offer them a drink and an appetizer. And if you're a really good host, you know, they come sit down in the living room and you hang out for a little bit and your conversation starts light and you start to have more conversation. Then they come to the dinner table and you have dinner together and you have a nice meal and your conversation starts to get deeper and it starts to get more meaningful and more significant. And then after a little while, you're having some deep conversation and everybody gets what they really came for, right? Dessert. So you have dessert together. And then you sit around for a little while after and you linger. And that's when like the really meaningful part of your conversation comes. And then at the end of the night, you're like, man, that was really great. We should do that again before they leave. See, we already do this. You already know how to do this. And this is what I think the church ought to be. You see, we're gonna create environments that are broad, that connect with people who are guests when they're first guests. But eventually, as we engage more and more and people take more steps and we continue to develop relationship, we're gonna challenge people to grow and our conversations and our relationships are gonna become deeper. And our walk with Christ is gonna become more faithful and it's gonna become more honest. And together, as the body, we're gonna lead people to find thriving. We're gonna find thriving life in Jesus, but we're gonna lead people to find thriving life in Jesus. So the question we gotta ask is, what's the best environment to lead your next door neighbor to find thriving life in Jesus? You need to ask yourself that question. We need to be asking the question, what's the best environment to lead the next generation to thriving life in Jesus in your home and here on the weekend and the children and student programs we have? What are the best environments to lead a single adult who's dealing with a unique set of challenges and temptations in life to find thriving life in Jesus? What's the best environment to encourage married couples to navigate the challenges of marriage and find life in Jesus? What's the most conducive environment to lead leaders who are leading other people, to challenge them at intense levels to find greater life on that narrow path in Jesus? What are the best environments? And here's what we want you to know. We're gonna be asking those questions, but I want you to be asking those questions because this is how we're gonna participate together. We're gonna create environments, not just here on the weekend, but you're gonna create environments Monday through Saturday or Monday through Friday as you go the places you go to. And we're gonna either participate with God in what he's up to. We're gonna play our role in obedience, or we won't. But for those of us who play our role, we're gonna watch. We're gonna create environments. We're gonna lead and we're gonna engage people in environments and we're gonna step back and watch God do what only God can do. Now, from time to time, we get a picture around here of exactly what that looks like. And the truth is we want to be an irresistible church, but we're not trying to create an irresistible church. We want to be people that are irresistible, that create an irresistible culture and context in our church that people are drawn to because they're drawn to the characteristics of Jesus in that. And we're going to create environments. But here's what you need to know. From time to time, we hear some stories that are just like, we hear so many great stories of people finding life. But from time to time, there's a story that pops up and I just go, man, that's the bullseye on the target. That's what we're trying to create. And to conclude our time together, I want to show you a story. Some people who found themselves on the wide road, and they were not only headed towards destruction, they were in the midst of destruction. And I want you to listen for it. Because of a few environments, a series of environments, they were led toward a narrow path and through a narrow gate, and they're experiencing life like they never have before. Take a look.
I'm Ryan Ramsey.
And I'm Desiree.
We've been married for 9 years.
Yeah.
And for most of those years, we've appeared to have it all together on the outside, but in reality, we were falling apart.
I grew up having a belief in God, but never really having a relationship with Jesus. Always feeling like something was missing.
I too grew up believing in God, but I wasn't a true follower. I was selfish, deceitful, and motivated by worldly desires.
After having an abortion, I sank deeper into depression. I was overwhelmed by guilt, shame, and even thoughts of suicide.
I dealt with my struggles in my marriage, work, and life with anger and sin, ultimately falling into addictions of gambling and pornography.
We knew we needed to build our marriage on a stronger foundation, and we wanted to raise our kids with Christian values.
I wanted to be the spiritual leader of my home, but I lacked the desire to have a genuine relationship with Christ. My work and self-gratification came before my family, and my addictions had taken over my life.
We started coming to mission more regularly, but honestly, our walk never matched our talk. And Ryan sank deeper into his addictions, and as a result, I felt lonely and isolated. It was a really dark time, and I eventually veered off, turned away from God, and became involved in an affair with another man.
The day I discovered Desiree's affair was one of the darkest days of my life. But God would use his pain in that moment as a turning point in my relationship with Christ. I was led to celebrate recovery here at Mission, and this is where my journey began in building a new life in Christ.
I saw genuine life change happening in Ryan's life, and I wanted to be a part of it. We decided we wanted to forgive each other and work on our marriage. So we joined a small group together, and I began attending CR with Ryan. We made the decision to get baptized together last summer, too. We're experiencing true healing, and I am so humbled and amazed to see how far God has brought us.
I have worked the 12-step program, established guardrails, and began living intentionally. This January, I received my one-year chip for freedom from pornography, and I'm so grateful to God for the work he's done in my life. Today, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, who is restoring my marriage, surrounding me with godly men, and I'm leading my daughters and wife to him. We're sharing our story because we want to spread this message of hope to others because of what has been given to us through Jesus.
My faith is now stronger than ever before, and I'm no longer bound to the sins and shame of my past.
My name is Ryan.
And I'm Desiree.
Jesus changed everything for us.
And Jesus changes everything for everyone.
I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be about for the rest of my life. Isn't that awesome? I don't want you to miss this. Because here's what I know. Some of you are on the wide road and you're struggling by yourself. Don't do that. It leads to destruction. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be on your own on that wide road. We want to invite you to take a step beyond the weekend. Some of you have never done that. And we want you to take a step. The hub is always here, whether it's your first time, you've been coming for a long time. It is the way to get connected here at Mission Beyond the Weekend. At any time you can go over there, there's people who want to help you take a next step. If you're not in a group, this is the season. We do this twice a year. February 9th, it's coming right up. It's right around the corner. You need to put it on your calendar to get connected in a group. You need to be in a group. You need to at least try it for a season. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to find life by engaging the body. As you engage and you sit around with other people who have the life of Christ in them and open God's word together and challenge one another and start doing life together, you're going to find life, deeper life, more meaningful, purposeful life in Jesus. It's just the way it works. It's an environment that God uses in a unique way. He has in my life and a lot of people's lives. But you need to take a step. I'm going to keep pushing you. Take a step. Don't just come on the weekend. Don't just come in rows. Circles are better than rows. We got to get people into circles. You need to be in a circle if you're not in a circle. So I want you to take a step and get connected. Some of you have a story to share. Just like Ryan and Desiree, you were thinking, oh man, I have a story to share. There's something going on in my life. And it doesn't even have to be a story like that. I know some of you are going, my story is not that good. They have a phenomenal story. But your story will connect with somebody the same way Ryan and Desiree's story connected with people. And the way we tell stories around here is through baptism. And we have a baptism weekend coming up in a few weeks. And if you're somebody who's interested in getting baptized and telling your story, going public with your faith, it's a step of obedience. The people in the hub can also help you take a next step to explore what it is to get baptized. We'd love to connect with you and share with you more about that. But lastly, I just want to say this. Somebody here, there's a few people that are in this room. And as you listen to Ryan and Desiree's story, you thought either you've just showed up here or you've been coming for a while and you feel alone and you need to talk with somebody. And you just thought, I need somebody to pray for me, to encourage me today. And if that's you, we just want you to know, we want to be the church to you. And there's going to be some folks that are down here, down front afterwards, that they just love to pray with people and encourage people. And if you're that person, we'd love for you to come down and talk with somebody. They'll not only pray and encourage you, they'll try and point you in the right direction. But I don't want you to leave and walk back out onto the wide road. I want you to take a step, because ultimately Jesus has life for you, and it's a life you've never tasted and experienced. And he has deeper and greater, more thriving life for every single one of us. So I want you to lean in. I want you to engage. I want you to take steps to engage to find life in Jesus. Thanks so much for being with us. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next week right back here at Mission.